Stuck in the 80s. Wham, and I'm Your Man, and aha, before that, and Sun Always Shines on TV at 8:15.
Back to 1985, thank you. It's like a bit of Wham. Oh, I've got a bone to pick with you.
Oh, no.
No, because you got me into awful trouble. Because I parked the car yesterday. Now, getting...
What?
Well, when I got back to Nice, I parked the car.
I'm not charged with parking your car.
No, it wasn't about parking my car, but I often have to avoid walking past every restaurant, otherwise I don't get home soon enough.
Stopping for a quick one on the way.
You have to get past the Duchess, Chez Serge and Mars. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I went round past the diving school that we mentioned yesterday.
Yes.
And Filippo, Bobby and Stefan...
Yes.
..wanted to know what you meant by saying Nice is a bit of a dive.
Oh.
So I had to stand there
to a French person
for about half an hour trying to explain without their faces kind of dropped, saying, oh, well, is that what Rob thinks of Nice then? So over to you on that one.
Well, it's just a play on words, isn't it?
You know, I know, but it doesn't really exist.
Les plongeurs divers in...
Yeah, in... I don't know what the... we did try to find the equivalent in French, but... I don't think we got very... Anyway, good morning.
Caillou.
Well, anyway, Nice isn't a dive, so I think you have to apologise.
I apologise in a French accent. A woman spent 16 hours gluing down 7,700 pennies to decorate her bathroom floor. Why? Jordan Darien posted a TikTok video of the renovation at her home in West Hollywood, California, and it's already had more than 20 million views. Why? Ms. Darien, the co-founder of a female-focused CBD brand, glued the 1 cent coins down on top of the existing wood effect tiles. Now, she then sealed the floor with $300 worth of glue. After the process was complete, one of her followers claimed to have spied a valuable vintage coin in the floor. In 1996, one of the 1943 copper alloy pennies sold for $82,500. There was no confirmation of one had actually been glued down. This is a wind-up, isn't it? Now, since posting the video to TikTok, I learned I may have made a very big mistake by not checking the pennies prior to permanently adhering them to my floor, she said. I had no idea a penny could be so valuable, and there are at least 8 wheat pennies upside down, so we're unable to check the year.
Oh.
Okay. It's a wind-up.
Really?
Well, yeah, somebody's just told her that. So, you know, after sticking all those pennies down, she's had to take them all up again and look at the undersides.
I stuck my coffee table eventually.
You stuck your coffee table?
The leg had come off it, but it's now stuck to the carpet. So I can't move it.
You had a three-legged coffee table?
No, a four-legged coffee table.
But you said the leg had come off.
Well, it had. It kind of split. So,
so it was only 3 legs then?
I glued it back together. No, like a part of it had just... come off, but now it's stuck to the carpet, so you can't move it.
I'll give up.
The Press Review is brought to you by BMW Côte d'Azur.
The London Times says Ben Wallace is the most high-profile casualty of the biggest shake-up of parliamentary constituencies for a decade. The Defence Secretary's Wye Valley and Preston North constituency is due to be abolished as part of a rebalancing of representation towards London and the south of England. The North East, North West and Black Country all lose 2 seats each, while London gains 2, the South East gains 7 and the South West 3. More than 90% of seats would see some changes in the plans, which will now be subject to consultation and adjustment for 2 years before they must come into effect.
And in this morning's Libération, from June the 9th, to access the interior of a restaurant, bar or gym, customers will have to provide their contact details or use the TUS anti-COVID application. From tomorrow, Wednesday, June the 9th, many places that have been closed for months, such as sports, bars, will be able to open again. Scanning the QR code of your favourite bar with a government application can legitimately make you fear that the Minister of Health is informed of your aperitif habits. Fortunately, this is not the case, as the TUS anti-COVID application does not use the GPS chip present in your telephone.
And from the Irish Independent, restaurants and pubs resumed outdoor table service yesterday after a 6-month COVID-19 shutdown, with €1 million expected to be spent on food and drink every 20 minutes. Restaurants and gastropub owners have been the focus of a frantic scramble for bookings as families and couples are desperate to resume normal life. Bookings for outdoor tables have soared, with some Dublin, Cork and Galway bistros saying that outdoor seating is now booked for prime Friday, Saturday and Sunday evening slots right up until the end of August. I only wanted a pint of Guinness.
The Press Review, brought to you by BMW, Nice Premium Motors, Bayon Avenue Cannes and BMW Store Monaco. Boost your business with the Business Drive BMW range. Find all the BMW Business Drive offers at your car dealer.
Rob at the radio saying George Ezra, George Ezra.
I'm sure lots of people shout at me at the radio, but that's another story, OK? Let's see if I can do any better today.
OK, question number one. On this day in 1974, who was at number one in the US with a song that also became a worldwide number one hit when it was covered by Whitney Houston in 1992, featuring in the film The Bodyguard?
I Will Always Love You.
Yeah, so who had the hit with that in
I know, but I can't remember. Was it George Ezra?
In 1974.
Oh, God.
Come on, it's one of Hank's favourites.
Dolly Parton.
Yes.
Yes, thank you.
I'll give you that. Question number two. Who on this day in 1996 scored their first UK number one with their version of the Roberta Flack 1973 hit, Killing Me Softly?
Fugees.
Correct. And finally, who on this day in 1991 scored their only UK number one single? The song was a number two hit in the US, where some radio stations edited out the word sex in the song title, with disc jockeys announcing the song I Wanna Love You Up.
Um,
1991.
Yeah, and I know, because William Shatner, a.k.a. Captain Kirk, did a cover version of it. Tell me.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay, well, it was Colour Me Bad with I Wanna Sex You Up.
So I don't have to play that now, do I?
What do you mean you don't have to?
Well, I thought if I got it wrong,
Oh, God, you rotter!
I can't find it.
It's in there.
Well, is it? Which? Where?
It's in your category. It's there.
Oh, yeah, you spelt it wrong. You spelt it American, which is why it didn't come up.
That's how it's spelled, the name of their band. They're an American band,
but
right?
They can't spell.
they can't smell.
Colour, everybody knows, is spelled C-O-L-O-U-R. I risk my case.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Morning.
Good morning. Enjoy the adverts this morning. It'd be nice just to head down to that Four Seasons Caffara Hotel and enjoy a little bit of alfresco dining with an Italian twist, wouldn't it? And the azure sunshine.
Well, as long as you've got both your vaccinations and can provide a negative PCR, you know, you can come.
We're in?
Yeah.
You're buying?
No.
There's a surprise.
It's Tuesday, the 8th of June, 2021, just in case you're wondering. I know you're stuck on your chopper back in Milton Keynes in the 1980s, but, you know, some of us are living in the real world.
This may be true. Thanks for the update.
Right, markets. Not much to write about yesterday, really, was it?
European equities rose to a new record high, so I think you can embrace that.
Well, yeah, the FTSE up 0.1%.
Although worries over inflation, possible delays to countries' reopening plans kept gains muted, as you said. Stock 600 was only up 0.2%. In fact, was off the session high at the close. It was there was a gain of 0.4% on the screen at one stage. On Wall Street, S&P 500 was flat. Nasdaq was up 0.5%. Market reaction to the developments of global minimum corporation tax that could enable governments to impose higher levies, particularly on large US tech companies. Somewhat limited, it has to be said. Theory being, I suppose, it may take years to come to fruition. So we're talking about yesterday, 10-year Treasury yields rose from their lowest level since late April. It's after Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said a slightly higher interest rate environment would be a plus. Investors, of course, waiting for Thursday's US inflation report. That's the last major piece of evidence for the Federal Reserve meeting next week. Will it be enough to unnerve central bankers? Probably not, but likely to print at really elevated levels. In terms of the opening calls on the European bourses this morning, Koenig Corn in FTSE down 2 points. DAX over in Frankfurt down 13 points. CAC 40 in Paris off 6 points.
Yeah, there's a big battle looming about this corporate tax rate, isn't there? Leading Republicans are saying they'll oppose Janet Yellen's G7 deal to impose a global minimum rate.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because there's a whole debate taking place, of course, about what should happen with taxes in the United States as the Biden administration tries to simultaneously push through that huge infrastructure development plan, $4 trillion worth of stimulus over the course of the next 8 years to be accompanied by higher corporate tax in the United States, higher personal taxes, and this push to go for a minimum tax rate as well, a global tax rate somewhere around about 15% or so. Republicans feeling, I suppose, that it could infringe particularly upon those large US technology companies that have been booming, but can use their abilities to say that intellectual property rights means this is where the sale's taken place rather than the individual countries. So from a global perspective, it's certainly something they need some coordination on.
Well, it has to be said, there's a lot of opposition among some Conservative politicians in the UK Parliament. Steve Baker, Ian Duncan Smith, Sir Edward Lee, Richard Drax. Shall I carry on? They're all against
it. Big names. Some heavyweights in there talking about the impact potentially could have. What it does do, of course, is reduce the race to the bottom, which encourages countries to go for lower and lower tax rates to encourage companies to come to their jurisdictions, and reduces the overall balance that that companies tend to pay. So in a time when public finances need to be restored after an unprecedented rise in peacetime borrowing, one would suspect that most governments will be keen to get as much as they can, and to do it in a coordinated fashion makes sense.
You're suggesting that Sir Edward Lee isn't a heavyweight of the British Conservative Party? I mean, you know.
That would not be for me to say.
Oh, no, he's having his blood pressure checked regularly as well. So he's a puce colour in the Houses of Parliament yesterday. Bosch is building a new semiconductor chip plant. Will they be doing a crinkle cut?
Different type of chips. Has opened a 1 billion euro semiconductor chip factory in Germany that should allow to, or should gradually help to alleviate some of the supply constraints and make Europe less reliant on US and Asian imports. Semiconductor bottlenecks have been disrupting manufacturing of everything from cars all the way through to consumer electronics. Its producers have not been able to keep pace with the speed of the recovery. Supply has also been impacted by weather disruption and a major fire in a Japanese factory. European Union seems particularly vulnerable and has set a goal of producing 20% of world supply by the end of the decade. Bosch estimates the global demand for semiconductors rise 11% this year to a market value somewhere around 400 billion euros. So huge market, certainly a risk to supply chains, and European authorities and companies trying to work hard to alleviate that risk.
And Jeff Bezos is going into space. Do you think Elon Musk will be tampering with the rocket guidance system to make sure he doesn't come back again?
Well, it's difficult, isn't it? There's a real battle taking place between these high-profile space tourism companies backed by wealthy entrepreneurs. You've got some, say, pretty big egos in there as well. Elon Musk's Space Exploration Technologies Company, Richard Branson's Virgin Galactic Holdings. But Jeff Bezos seems once again to have stolen a march on the others, saying his Blue Origin will launch its first passenger-carrying mission, the 57-year-old who travel alongside his brother, said the launch schedule for next month will have him on board, which will be about 2 weeks after the billionaire plans to step down as chief executive officer of Amazon. Blue Origin auctioning off a seat on its new Shepard rocket, which is scheduled for July the 20th. You get an 11-minute trip to suborbital space that will reach an altitude about 100 kilometres. It's the only spot available for purchase. You want to know how much you got to pay so far? It's an auction that's taking place. $2.8 million. Bidding ends on June the 12th.
And there's enough millionaires around these days, aren't there? I'm sure there'll be loads of takers.
Well, I think the price will come down quite quickly. That's the thing. What is the rush? I don't know why you want to be so... maybe that's the cachet of it all. But to be a little bit later and pay a cheaper price when they've worked out some of those glitches doesn't seem like a bad strategy to me.
Yeah, Ryanair will be running shuttle services to the moon and back before you know it, I should think. Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against the dollar, only if you're vaccinated. Pound against the dollar, 141.5. Euro dollar, 121.5. 1 euro, 16 cents for your British pound this morning.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day, sir.
Speak to you tomorrow. Hang Potts and Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyce has the top stories across the Riviera.
Latest figures published by Public Health France have shown that the number of patients hospitalised with COVID in France continues to decline, standing at 14,323 on Monday. The decline also continues in critical care units, with 2,472 patients. Meanwhile, data released by the Ministry of Health has shown that more than 40% of the French population is now vaccinated. 28.2 million people have received at least the first injection of the vaccine, and 14 million have completed their vaccination. Paris City Council has announced that the makeshift cafe terraces, which were in place last year to serve customers during COVID, will become permanent summer fixtures. The city turned over thousands of parking spaces last year to restaurant and cafe owners who were no longer allowed to serve indoors due to the COVID pandemic. In other news, researchers have warned that climate change will cost wealthy nations twice as much as the COVID pandemic if more is not done to slash carbon emissions. Under existing climate policies, G7 nations stand to lose 8.5% of GDP a year. That's almost $5 trillion by 2050. This is as temperatures rise by 2.6 degrees Celsius. Italy and France would be the worst hit rich countries, their economies shrinking by an estimated 11.4% and 10% respectively. France's competition authority has fined Google €220 million for favouring its own services in online advertising. The tech giant was found to have given preferential treatment to Google's own technologies in digital adverts. Google has not contested the facts, and the fine was agreed as part of a settlement procedure. The French government has recognised a state of natural disaster for land movements in Lantosc from the 2nd to the 3rd of October 2020, that was during Storm Alex, and for Nice for the period from the 20th to the 22nd of December in 2019. Victims have 10 days from the publication date to submit an estimated statement of the losses they've suffered with their insurance companies. That's in order to benefit from compensation. Details can be found on the Alpes-Maritime Prefecture website. After 4 years of work, an underwater echo museum has opened near Sainte-Marguerite Island off the coast of Cannes. Six mask-like sculptures have been installed on the seabed that are designed to encourage marine life to return to the area. Funded by the City Council of Cannes, the site was once littered with debris, such as old engines and pipelines, which were cleared away to make room for the museum. Meanwhile, Cannes has announced a draw to win tickets to this year's film festival. The draw is open to all residents in Cannes older than 18 at the time of registration. You need to register online before Saturday, July the 3rd. There's also the possibility of registering in person instead of online, and you can find full details at www.cannes.com. As summer approaches, hashtag Summer Body Challenge and Objective Bikini are making a comeback on social media. But a new trend called body positive is emerging against the myth of the perfect body and losing weight. According to an IFOP survey carried out for Fitness Magazine, one out of two inhabitants of the Provence-Alpes Côte d'Azur region is not satisfied with their body. The challenge of body positive is to find the balance between the goals that we set ourselves and the reality of what we can do. And it was created in the United States in 1996 and started in France with the creation of the Instagram account at The Body Optimist. Influencers and spokespersons for the movement promote self-esteem by challenging all stereotypes of what beauty is as defined by society. Finally, a replica of Leonardo da Vinci's famous Mona Lisa painting is going on sale in Paris, where it's expected to fetch up to €300,000. The work is said to have been created by a follower of da Vinci in the early 17th century. It will be sold at Christie's auction house in Paris.
Count on Riviera Radio when traffic jams.
So I was just checking out my body.
Your
poses.
Body, yeah, that was a bit frightening.
I tried to get to my bikini yesterday.
Your bikini.
Yeah, I couldn't find it. This is a traffic flash. Roberts, Captain Roberts says there's a big jam coming down towards Mougins from Grasse on the Pénétrance because there's been an accident. Yes, thank you, Roberts. Captain Robert, just seen that on the traffic map just now, so thank you very much.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Sorry, did I frighten you?
I wondered what you were doing.
I thought that was your last
story.
Tennis. Tennis, Rafael Nadal and Novak Djokovic are both through to the last days of the French Open in Paris. Djokovic survived a fourth round scare as he went two sets down against the Italian teenager Lorenzo Musetti before coming through when his opponent retired injured in the fifth. Nadal made the last eight after beating Jannik Sinner in straight sets. In the women's events, Coco Gauff made the last eight for the first time as she beat Ons Jabeur 6-3, 6-1. And the defending champion Iga Świątek is also into the quarterfinals after beating Marta Kostyuk 6-3, 6-4. Cricket, the England and Wales Cricket Board is reported to be investigating a second England player for posting historical offensive material the day after Ollie Robinson was suspended for past racist and sexist tweets. In a statement, the ECB said a social media post had been brought to its attention and it would make further comments in due course. On Sunday, the ECB suspended Robinson from international cricket pending a full investigation into tweets posted in 2012 and 2013. He's been dropped from the squad for the second test against New Zealand, which starts on Thursday. Football: Germany put the finishing touches to their preparations for Euro 2020 with a 7-1 thrashing of Latvia in a friendly last night. Germany are not considered to be among the favourites to win the tournament, and they're in a tough group alongside France, Portugal and Hungary. If Germany finish second in Group F and England win Group D, they could play each other in the next phase. Never write the Germans off. Here's more football from BBC Sport.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Paul Serres at the BBC Sports Centre. The Brighton Academy director, John Morling, says Ben White's call-up to England's Euro squad is a great story for other aspiring footballers. White was released by Southampton as a 16-year-old. 7 years later, the Brighton defender is in Gareth Southgate's squad, and Morling says White will have plenty to offer.
He's technically good, very efficient, plays out very well. Obviously, we've got a possession-based philosophy, so he suits that very well. He's very versatile, play centre-half, play right-back, play holding midfield player. So he'd be valuable in that respect, especially going into a tournament in terms of the Euros. He obviously can cover many positions.
White, who replaces the injured Trent Alexander-Arnold, only made his debut in last week's win over Austria and started yesterday's victory over Romania alongside Tyrone Mings. There's just 6 days until England's opener against Croatia. Former England forward Teddy Sheringham thinks Jack Grealish has played his way into Gareth Southgate's starting 11.
I think the more players that we can get on the pitch that can receive the ball, retain the ball, take the game to the opposition, the better. Ethan Bunn is fantastic at doing that. I'm not sure that he's in Gareth's plans to start. I think he will be used at some time. But for me, if I had the chance to pick him, I think he would be in my starting lineup. Yeah.
The former Liverpool midfielder Ginny Wijnaldum is close to joining Paris Saint-Germain. The Dutch midfielder, who left Anfield at the end of the season, had been expected to join Barcelona. And Aston Villa have announced a club record deal worth an initial $47 million for the Norwich midfielder Emiliano Buendia, which could rise to $54 million. And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
I haven't heard anything from Teddy Sheringham for a while. So I think the more players we can get on the pitch, the better. Let's try and get 15 or 16 on, see if the ref doesn't notice, you know. It's a crafty 16 on the pitch, we might stand a chance of winning. Finally, in rugby union, Carl Sinclair has been called up with the British and Irish Lions a month after missing out on the original squad. The England prop was a high-profile omission from Warren Gatland's initial 37-man group. He got the call up after an injury to Ireland's Andrew Porter. Sinclair reacted to the news by saying, "Life is crazy." Yeah, he's right, isn't he?
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almaracim and the Var, the general situation is a depression 1,030 millibars between Corsica and continental France. Winds are variable, force 1 to 3. The sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat 1,017 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday, thundery showers, force 2 to 3 southwesterly winds, slight seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, the winds are westerly, force 3 to 4. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,016 millibars. Then the outlook for Wednesday, showery, force 2 to 4. Variable winds, slight seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine. For enhanced, high-performing connectivity on board your yacht, speak to our expert team today about our VSAT and 4G packages. Visit connectmyyacht.com.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Servibat, the home closing specialist in Nice and Villefranche.
Partially cloudy, occasional showers today, some thunder inland, light southerly winds, a high of 25 degrees, overnight lows 19 to 21 degrees, partially cloudy skies, Wednesday and Thursday sunshine and scattered thunderstorms tomorrow, fine on Thursday, highs of 25 or 26 degrees.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Servibat Nice and Villefranche, for 30 years specialising in home closures, windows, blinds, shutters, reinforced glazing and doors. Feel good at home. Visit servibat06.fr.
I didn't sleep very well last night.
Why not?
Because my neighbour, in his wisdom, decided to start talking on his telephone under my bedroom window about 9:30 outside. Yeah, we'll take the gas boiler out and then we'll take it back to the plaster and redo the pipe work and then...
Yeah, but come on, what time was it? It's probably
half
about
past
7
9.
O'clock. Oh, that's
so
a bit
I said,
early.
Excuse me?
Did you say something?
Of course I did. I couldn't sleep. What was he doing standing outside?
Oh,
why can't
I'm
he go and speak in his
I'm
own
so
apartment?
I'm so glad you're not my neighbour.
No. I said, look, you know...
Go on then, what did you say? Said, come on, how did you
I'm
say
I'm trying
it?
To get to sleep.
No, come on, in French, what did you say?
I said, hey, Seb...
Put a sock in it.
Would you like me to drop my gas boiler on your head? No, not exactly. But why does he need to speak under my bedroom window when he's got a whole apartment to speak in? And
it's probably hot. He's probably trying to get some air.
He's got air conditioning.
Oh, you all have air conditioning.
Yeah,
it's just
have,
the norm
yes.
in your
We all
your
have air
building.
Conditioning. You're not allowed to live there unless you have air conditioning.
What took you so long?
Well, so I was a few years behind everybody else, but I got there eventually.
No, this is the beginning of my and finally.
What took you so long, Emma Bunsen?
Yes, well done. What your favourite Spice Girl.
Yeah.
What took you so long? Police officers have caught an enormous runaway. Wait for it.
Dinosaur.
No. Had a better ending than Tilda.
Tortoise. Yeah, but yours was a turtle, though.
Well, a mile from its home... the giant African tortoise fled from his enclosure near Ipswich and made it a mile across town before he was spotted by a startled member of the public. With a top speed of around 0.3 miles per hour, it was an escape plan doomed to fail, but it took three officers to lift the 35-year-old nine-stone pet into a van and drive him home. The owner said it's a mystery, so he had not broken through his shelter. So they don't know how...
His shelter...
Yeah. Shello, hello. What have you got here then?
Surprised it didn't turn turtle. It was a turtle as opposed to... It was a tortoise as opposed to a turtle. That's enough of that.
That's why you're smiling. You put a bit of Emma on.
Baby Spice.